See throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. And I'm here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Now, if you caught last night's show, then you already heard me explain about why we delayed sending out the K-Files over the weekend. And I had hoped I could get that done last night. It was not possible. I will try to start getting this last edition of the K-Files out. I'll try to start that after the show tonight. If everything goes well, then I'll be able to do that. So, if you subscribed to the K-Files and you didn't get it, don't think something that you missed getting the K-Files. Well, you did, but I mean, don't think it was just you. Everybody missed it. We had to delay sending it out. And for further information on that, see last night's show. I was going through some of the archives today, and we call them K-Pods. And just making sure everything was loading up as it was supposed to, making sure everything happened like it was supposed to. And it all worked. Everything was just fine. Everything worked fine. But I ran across that show where I announced the death of John Vasquez. Remember that? And then shortly after I announced that, rumors started popping up. By shortly, I mean within a few hours after I announced it. Rumors started popping up on the internet that John had not passed away and that he's still with us, but just barely hanging on. And that was not true. John had passed away. Now, I was thinking about that, you know, and I was thinking, what utter mindless nonsense this crap was. And in other areas, in other types of information, you also have mindless crap on the internet. And then you got folks in our genre who are broadcasters who sometimes get duped. It can happen to anybody. Everything looks right about a story. Everything looks like it's checking out. So they report it. And that's okay. But then you have folks, once it's proven to be not true, who still are broadcasting it and pumping it and blowing it up into something that they shouldn't. And there's no way to fix that. There's really no, I'm not on a crusade against it. There's no way to fix it, but I'm going to deal with some of that tonight in some very real stories and some fictional. All right, we're going to take a break, and we will be back right after this.
All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com.
I'll get it right in a minute. I promise. I'll push the right button in a minute. Two shots and I missed the first two. Okay. Sorry about that. Welcome back. Now, we're going to look at some real stories here tonight, and I'm going to talk about, how the spin doctors and the fluffmeisters are dealing with these stories, and there's a point to this. You know, while I get email, I get nasty email sometimes. Not very much of it. I get a little bit of it. Anybody that does what I do is going to, you got to expect that. That's part of the territory. And sometimes I get this nasty email about, you know, well, I'll give you one example. You know, you're not after the truth. You don't care anything about the truth. You're just after ratings and blah, 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 blah. Why, you know, that's why I listen most of the time to any named a show. Because he's after the truth. He got his start right here on this show. The very first radio interview that he ever did was right here. We introduced him to the world. So if he's the paragon of truth, and he and I are friends, there's no problem between us, but if he's the paragon of truth, how can it be that I don't care anything about truth when I got him started? Get my point? But this is not about me and what people say to me or write about me. I mean, I frankly don't care. But that's just an example of the kind of really mixed up, convoluted, harebrained nonsense crap that's out there. And it plagues, I suppose, all news, but it certainly plagues alternative news. People want to believe something. They feel naked if there's not something to believe. And so they grab onto anything, and they'll grab and believe just damn near anything. They really will. Because they feel a necessity, like a craving for heroin. They feel a necessity to believe something and then to have some kind of news reporting that seems to confirm what they already believe. Now, I mentioned this thing, and I'm going to show you how this really affects our genre. And why it's so important, you know, doing things the way the Kevin Smith Show does things. This is why we do things the way we do it. All right, I've already told you about the deal with John Vasquez. His son had called me that day and told me that John had passed away. Now, that's pretty reliable information, I would think. I have no reason to think that John's son would give us bad information about John's being alive or not being alive. I mean, there's no reason for him to. And he called me that day, told me that John had passed away in the morning. I announced it on my Facebook page and I announced it on the air. And I mean within a couple of hours after I put it on Facebook, it was already going around the internet that while it has been reported that John Vasquez passed away, we understand that he's still with us, but it's just barely hanging on. And I don't even know why you would tell something like that. I mean, for what reason? For what purpose? It was absolutely true that John had passed away. And you know, for what reason would you tell stuff like that? But then you had people that picked up on that, and for days it was being spread on the internet that he was still with us but barely hanging on. You had people who had really good intentions then. That read that were sending their best wishes to John and their healing energies and prayers And they had good intentions, and there's nothing at all negative to say about folks that did that, except that John was gone. John was already on the other side. And the purveyors of bad information manipulated a lot of folks who had no way to know. How many people have John's private cell phone number or his son's private cell phone number? I do, but how many people do? Not very many. And so they couldn't call, they couldn't check, they couldn't verify it. They were being manipulated. For what reason? Who knows? But they were being manipulated by the purveyors of bad, crappy information. I use that example because that's the easiest one for you to visualize. That one you can easily see how, by saying that John had not passed away and was barely hanging on and needs your prayers, by saying that, you are manipulating a lot of people out there to pray for John and to send healing energy to John and to, you know, have great thoughts about his healing and so forth and to focus on him. You're manipulating a lot of people to do that. Now, I don't understand why, what would be behind that, but you can see how that works, right? I mean, you can see how the purveyors of that information manipulated people who had no way to know. Otherwise, they manipulated them into activity that was useless at that point. It's just that easy. Really, it's just that easy to manipulate people in our genre in just about any direction you want to herd them. It really is. And the way you do it is become kind of a household name, you know. You do that, start a show, and stay with it for a few years. Most shows are gone in 6 months or less. But start a show, stay with it a few years, and people are going to know who you are. And then be the Don Quixote, be the champion of the truth, be the guy that's going to rescue everybody from all the bad information. Come across that way. Be the champ. Now, once you get that reputation, you can tell people just about anything you want to and herd them just about any place you want to go. You can move them. It's really that easy. And it's a shame. Could I do that? Yeah, I could. I don't. I could. I could get up here and I could tell you X, Y, Z, and by God, I know it's true. I checked this, I checked that, I checked this, and it's the truth. Now, if it weren't the truth, and I said it with conviction like that, there would be a load of people that would buy what I'm saying. And that's why I don't do that. Now, if I'm reading a story and I have checked into this, that, and the other thing, I'll tell you that. And then I'll tell you, you know, so this report appears to me to be accurate. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? The crusaders. Or you can grab your video camera and start making videos. And, you know, instead of doing a radio show, make videos and put videos out. Loads and loads of people doing that. and build up a reputation. And then you can put a video out that has the most nonsensical crap in it that anybody's ever heard and swear that it's true, and a whole lot of people fall for it. It's beyond me why you would want to do that unless you, I mean, you know, if you were getting paid by the government to do that, I can't imagine anybody that would accept that kind of a gig, but people do. But unless you're getting paid to do it, for what reason would you do it? That's beyond me. I don't know why you would do it. Okay, so you can visualize with the thing with John Vasquez, right? You can visualize that. Here recently, somebody that's a fairly regular guest, I mean, you know, a couple of times a year and has been for a number of years now, asked me about a particular story. Particular rumor that is being told, and it had to do with Jerry Wills. And it was nothing bad. It was just, you know, one of the exploits of Jerry. You know, it was a story about Jerry doing something pretty amazing. And I was asked about that, and I said, well, you know, he's the associate host here on this show, and we're good friends. And I've never heard this, and I'm pretty sure that if it were true, if it had happened, that Jerry would have told me, and we would have then done a show about it, because that's pretty interesting stuff. But I'll check. And I did check. And Jerry said, unmitigated nonsense, never heard of it. So why is this story going around out there? For what reason? Why would you tell something like that? I mean, at least if you're going to do this, be smart and tell a story like that about somebody that's dead that can't refute it. I had one, a guy that I know was writing a book and told him, well, he was had a ghostwriter writing the book, told a story to the ghostwriter about me and an extraterrestrial. Now, there's some true stuff you could tell about that. But this story involved me being in the hospital with back trouble. I've never been in the hospital with back trouble. Never. Not a single time. And it involved, well, anyway, it was a big, big story, and the ghostwriter got in touch with me and wanted to know more details. And I said, I've never even heard this story. When she shared it with me, that was the first time I had heard this story. And I said, you know what? I hate to tell you, but it's just not true. It just didn't happen. And that's what Jerry was faced with as well. You know, a fantastic story. It would be an amazing story, and it would be one of those blockbuster shows if we were to do a show on it. But just didn't happen. All right, now I've given you, you know, two or three examples here of stories, real live situations. And now I want to show some pictures to those who are watching. And we're going to deal with some more of this kind of nonsense. All right? Over in the Netherlands, there... Later, when she's going through the pictures, she sees something very, very astounding above the castle. And to me, I mean, we're looking at a picture of the castle with this thing flying above it, and the red arrows that you're looking at, I put in there just to point out the thing. All right. To me, it looks like a missile. That's what it looks like. Now, we're going to look at another couple of pictures here in just a second, but to me, that looks like a missile. But it's a very, very strange missile. For one thing, if we, well, we'll get back to that. We have a break taking over. All right. See you on the other side. Welcome back to the show. Talking about this picture taken in the Netherlands, and it was just a few days ago, and the article started popping like that. We're going to deal with the articles in just a moment. But, you know, I said this thing looks like, to me, it looks like a missile. And, I mean, it just does. It looks like, and it looks like it's moving fast. It's a little blurred, you know. And the rest of the picture is not. The rest of the picture is like crystal clear, high definition. And so people started speculating about what it was. Now, the testimony of Corinne Federer was that, and is, that she was taking five pictures in rapid succession, high definition pictures, and that there was absolutely no sound, and she and others who were with her saw nothing above the castle. They didn't see any of this. It only showed up in the pictures, and it only showed up in one frame. Now, that tells you this thing is moving, really, really moving. And so all of a sudden, you have experts talking about this this thing and giving their opinions about it. The Huffington Post contacted, actually HuffPost UK, contacted a UFO expert at the Sci-Fi Channel who said there was no obvious evidence that the pictures were tampered with. But then he went on to say that there was another explanation for this. He said, if I had to place my money on it, I would say that we're looking at insects. Insects. Now, I'm going to go back to this picture. I want you to look at the size of this insect in relationship to everything else in the picture. That is one freaking huge insect, if it's an insect. Now, we can't tell if, there's no way to tell if this thing is right over the castle, somewhat closer to the camera than the castle, or further away beyond the castle. It appears to be right above it, but it could be beyond the castle. It could be on this side towards the camera. Either way, if this is somewhat closer to the camera, you're still looking at an insect of at least 3 feet long, at least. This is one huge insect. Just to give you a comparison, he says, this guy from Sci-Fi Channel told HuffPost UK he thought it was probably insects. Just to give you a comparison, another guy wrote another article and said it's a blimp. Okay, I think Corinne Federer and the other people who were with her when she shot these pictures, I think they would have seen a blimp. And they didn't. They saw nothing. The fact that this is in one frame with five shots being taken, just rapid succession, you know, cameras will do that automatically. You know, just tick, 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 tick. Five shots real fast. And this is in one frame, pretty much tells you that whatever it is was hauling booty. It was moving. And blimps don't do that. It made no sound, and blimps do. They didn't see a blimp. And a blimp would have been in all of those pictures. So what is it? Well, you know, I really don't know. But if we take the picture that has the object in it and turn it into black and white, you can see very clearly that ain't no insect. I mean, let me zoom in on this. What insect do you know that has wings that are S-shaped? Now, if that were an insect, you have one wing that's one part of the S and one wing that's the other part of the S, and this thing would be moving in the picture from right to left because the wing placement. This has S-shaped fins or wings on it. Seriously, you have the, you know, the bend of the top of the S is one wing and the bend on the bottom of the S is the other wing. And it's a long tubular shaped thing that's tapered off at both ends. What insect do you know of that looks like that? What blimp have you ever seen that looks like that? What blimp have you ever seen that moves so fast it only appears in one frame of five frames being shot in rapid succession and makes no noise? But what happens, you see, this guy, I want to point this out. Maybe you didn't catch this. The article says, HuffPost UK contacted a UFO expert at the Sci-Fi Channel who said, and then they go on to tell what he had to say. If this UFO expert had said, this is clearly some type of unidentified flying object, they would not have referred to him as a UFO expert. They would have said, we contacted a UFO believer who is a consultant to Sci-Fi Channel. That's what they would have said. But because he said something so stupid, because he said something so nuts, it's an insect. Because he said that, then they refer to him as a UFO expert. And as a UFO expert, he's telling you it's not a UFO. You see how this works? He may be a UFO expert. I don't know who it is. They don't say who it is. He may be a UFO expert, but I can pretty much guarantee you he is not an insect expert. And I can pretty much guarantee you he hasn't looked at very many insects. Insects don't have S-shaped wings. So, and you know, I mean, an insect that's 1 foot long is a huge freaking insect, and this thing would be much longer than that. I've never seen a 1 foot long insect, have you? I mean, be honest about it. Have you ever seen an insect of any kind that's 1 foot long? This thing would have been way, way bigger than that, and it has S-shaped wings. There's another thing to note here, and it's the color. The color in the high-definition photograph is very clear color. An insect generally has colors. This thing is the color, pretty much, of the sky. It's pretty much the color of the clouds. And again, it's moving at an extreme speed. But the way the manipulation is done is, in the article, they say, we contacted a UFO expert at Sci-Fi Channel, and he said it's a bug. If he had said it was a UFO, he wouldn't have been a UFO expert. I guarantee you that. He would have been a UFO believer who is a consultant to Sci-Fi Channel. That's the way it works. That's how they do it. Now, that's people in, you know, kind of lamestream media, vainstream media. We expect that from them. But this same sort of thing happens in our own genre. There's one guy who, channels Zork from Zetan and makes all of these predictions and prophecies and stuff, and he's got a huge following, and for years people have been trying to get me to have him on the show. If his prophecies even got close to 50% accuracy, I would probably invite him to be on the show. But his prophecies have like maybe 8% accuracy. It's really incredible how many people are believers in this guy. And they, you know, they get ticked off with me because I don't have him as a guest on the show. So they get ticked off with me, and I hear about it. Look, he and people like him who have been able to develop this big name for themselves are manipulating lots and lots of people. And they're feeding them, you know, a steady line of BS. Now, the UFO field, all on its own, has enough BS in it. The paranormal field, all on its own, has enough BS in it. Just a natural byproduct of the fact that we're dealing with things that go beyond what we absolutely know. We're dealing with things that are unknown, unidentified flying object. Tells you we don't know what the heck it is. And so it's real easy, you know, people will speculate, you know, it's this, it's that. Then they speculate long enough, they, after a while, start believing their speculation. So the UFO field, the paranormal field, the world of the strange and the unexplained, all on its own has enough BS in it. But then we have BS artists who decide to scrape up some of the BS and make sculptures out of it. All right, we'll be back in just a little bit.
Back home in a world where you
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. All right, so, you know, I've been talking about the story weavers, the BS sculptors, the people who are using fantastic stories to manipulate people. And, you know, it's happening in mainstream media. We expect that. I've given you some examples of it. But it also happens right here in our own genre. And it's really sad. It is. There's no, like I say, I mean, there's no way to clean that up. And, you know, every once in a while I hear somebody, you know, that is the new crusader. And they're going to clean it all up. They're going to show you the absolute truth. Well, the fact is, we're dealing with a type of information that it's pretty impossible to come to absolute truth about anything. I mean, we can get real, real close. But for instance, if I show you, like I showed you the stream on Mars, and I showed you the action of the water, and it looked like there's a pump out there beside the stream. You remember that show? And it's a pretty clear picture, and it's from NASA. So I can get real, real close, and I can say, you know, to me, that's what it looks like. To me, I'm satisfied that that is a stream, and that's a pump. And this is a drainage ditch of some kind over here to the left. Yeah, I know you remember the show. But there's no way that I can say with absolute certainty that that's what it is unless I can walk up there to the stream and dip my toes in it. And then say, folks, I walked up to it. I dipped my toes in the water. That's water. That's a stream. That's a pump. It's exactly what I told you. And unless I can walk up to it and verify it, there's no way to be absolutely sure. And it's intellectual dishonesty to pretend you're absolutely sure about something for which you can offer no proof, for which you can offer no solid evidence. It's just intellectually dishonest. And there's a whole lot of that. And there's also no way to win. To my fellow hosts, if you're looking for a win, forget it. If you're looking for a win, you're wasting looks. There's no way to win. If you're intellectually honest about this, all of this information, you'll do the best you can with it, and you'll dig as deep as you can get, and you'll get as close to the facts and as close to the truth as it's possible to do so. And you'll have people that appreciate that, but you'll also have people that say, because you won't take that leap and be that crusader and say, here is the proof, this is it, this is absolute, because you won't do that, you'll have people, you know, that write nasty stuff to you and about you and talk about how you're not interested in the truth. You know, I have this with one group that is all the time pushing one particular guest who's supposedly an expert on some stuff about 9/11. I had that person on once, but never again. Heard what the person had to say, asked some questions that made that person antsy, nervous, and even a little bit angry. And then because that person could not answer those questions, and they are questions quite germane to what was being said, because of that, I got email telling me that I was trying to hide the truth about 9/11. Nonsense. I was looking for the truth about 9/11 when I had that guest on. The guest couldn't answer questions about the guest's own supposed evidence. This kind of thing happens all the time. And it's all through our genre of information. Now, why is that important to you? And why should it be important to me? Well, it's important to me because I sit here night after night after night dealing with this kind of information and trying to find out the truth about it. And the very first thing you have to do is just find out which stories are totally bogus so you can discard them. You know, which reports out there are completely bogus, absolutely bogus. And then you can just discard those. And now you're down to stuff that you can dig into and try to find out what parts of these stories, the remaining stories, are facts and what parts of these stories are speculation. And then after you sort through all of that, then you have to get to, okay, this story is number one, really interesting. Number two, this story from all the others, this one has more supporting evidence. And then we bring it on the show, and then we talk about it, and we ask questions about it. We try to get a guest that knows something about that. If we can, we get the person who's the source of that story. And we go after it, and we try to find out. It is increasingly difficult, because we now have not just the United States government, they are included, but many governments of the world spinning and weaving fabrics of alleged reality that are not. And so now we have to deal with all that crap too. And it is an ongoing process and a hard process to get through all of this and keep your sanity and come out on the other side knowing something rather than just being herded into believing something. I say on this show, and I've said it many times, it's not true that knowledge is power. People say that like it's true. That's not true. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. When you know, then there are no secrets. When you know the secrets, they have no power over you. And that's, you know, we're not in a, I'm not on a quest to bring you the truth. It's not even possible. I've discussed right here tonight why that's not even possible. Anybody that tells you that's what they're going to do is either lying or severely deluded themselves. But the quest here is knowledge, so that we come out on the other side knowing that this thing is a fact, that thing is a speculation, and that thing that is a speculation may be part of the truth. Knowing the difference between the facts, the speculation, and the truth. That's the only way you can arrive at it. So our quest here is a quest for knowledge. And I hope that we're able to help you get through some of the cloud of gas that seems to swirl all around us, and most particularly in our genre. I think there are two things about which media, both mainstream and alternative, I think there are two things about which both kinds of media are quite willing to fudge in order to herd you their direction. One of those things has to do with politics, and the other has to do with UFOs and paranormal. Both mainstream, I showed you with HuffPost UK what they did. Now, I applaud them for reporting this story and showing the picture of the thing over the castle in the Netherlands. I applaud them for that. But I showed you where in the story they are herding you a particular direction and how they did it. Well, they do that with UFOs and paranormal all the time. And they do it with politics all the time. But they do it in alternative media too. All right, we'll be back after this break. I got another interesting thing coming up, and then we'll open the phone lines.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I guess you've noticed I've got cockpit problems here tonight. I'm pushing wrong buttons. I've rerouted some stuff due to the new scripting and the new automation. All that's working good. I'm just having, you know, I'm used to reaching over and pushing buttons without looking most of the time, and I'm pushing the wrong ones. It used to be the right ones, but I'll get it. By tomorrow night, I'll be a master of the mixer, I promise you. Anyway, we've been talking about the BS artists in both mainstream media and alternative media. And, you know, I hit mainstream media pretty hard sometimes, but again, to be intellectually honest, I also have to tell the truth about alternative media. And alternative media is pumping out, I think, just as much, if not more, BS than mainstream. Now, mainstream's predictable on all of it. It's a UFO? No, it's not. It's a bug. It's a UFO? No, it's not. It's a Chinese wedding lamp. You know, I mean, they're predictable. Alternative media is wacky. Not predictable at all, but wacky, and as they pump out this stuff. And you just have to be on your toes mentally, intellectually. You have to understand knowledge is not something somebody hands to you. Knowledge, there's no elevator to knowledge. You have to take the stairs. You have to do it. Now, what we try to do is facilitate that. We try to make it possible. I'm going to show you something and talk to you about it where we have some more BS, but this is being pumped out by NASA. And you, when you first consider this, you may wonder, you may say, how can that be BS? NASA has now recruited and has announced their first class of astronauts being trained as deep space astronauts. Now, why is this? Why am I saying this is BS? Those who are watching are seeing the pictures of these eight individuals. There are four men and four women. And this is the first class of NASA astronauts being trained for deep space exploration. And when we say deep space, it really isn't. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. I'll give them that. They're talking about, you know, going to an asteroid or even Mars, maybe. Now, why is that BS? Well, because I want you to take a good close look at the pictures. And I would say that everyone in those pictures is, a couple of the ladies there might be late 20s, but I am guessing 30s. And nobody in those pictures then is below 30. Everybody in those pictures, actually, they're probably closer to their 40s, and a couple of the men may be in their 40s. Deep space, huh? Well, I would like for you to consider this fact. NASA doesn't even have a car to drive. They have no way to put anybody in space right now. They don't have anything to fly. They gave it all up. They retired the only things they had flying before they had anything else ready to fly. Not real smart planning, I would have to say, but nevertheless. Now, we already know that in order to get to Mars, you're going to have to outlive this current administration. That's not my opinion. That is the position of this administration. They canceled the program to return to the moon and then on to Mars. They canceled it. I keep asking NASA, what's the deal? You guys didn't get the memo? You're not going to Mars. Not under this administration. They don't have anything to fly. There's not a way to get to Mars. Not from the United States, there's not. I mean, this is like saying, you know, this is like you got a Volkswagen and you're claiming that you're in the business of building 747s, and the only thing sitting in your garage, the only thing sitting in your hangar is a Volkswagen. There's no 747. And people look around and there's nothing, no factory building a 747, but you claim to be in the 747 business. Well, it's a little worse than that because NASA doesn't even have a Volkswagen sitting in the hangar. They got nothing. They can't get to space. Not with humans. The very, very soonest that NASA could be flying someone to Mars will be when those people are 70. You're going to have to outlive this administration. And then you have to outlive the legacy of this administration and the death knell legislations and policies for NASA that were put in place by this administration. That's not politics. Those are facts. Check it. And then once you outlive the legacy, that means you have to outlive all of those senators who sold their soul to the company store. And you're going to have to outlive all the representatives who sold their souls to the company store and supported all this crap that has killed our space program. You have to outlive the administration that did it and the legacy. You have to outlive the people that helped them do it. Then you have a period of time where you start trying to build a consensus of the congressmen and senators that, you know what, we need to get back in the space business. And then once they are convinced and once they're ready to go and they appropriate the money, if there's still any money at that time, you got a build-up period where you have to invent the technology to build the spacecraft. See, technology dies when its use dies. If you have no use for a wood-burning stove, there it is. If you have no use for a buggy whip, the buggy whip industry dies. And that's what's happening in aerospace right now. Aerospace is dying. Now, you got to get all that built back up. At the very earliest that you could possibly send somebody to, quote, deep space, and that's what they're calling a trip to Mars. That's not deep space. That's next door. The very earliest these people will be in their 70s. They ain't going to deep space. This is PR. Now, I'll give NASA some kudos for being smart enough to do some PR like this to try and keep the dream alive and while NASA tries to outlive the current complete debacle that is Washington, D.C. If they can outlive that then they can get on with, you know, rebuilding and reopening the space exploration programs. But I'll give them some kudos. I'll give them some applause. I'll tip my hat to them for doing some PR to try and keep the dream alive. But the fact is, those people are not going to deep space. They ain't no bus. And there's not one in the foreseeable future. Now, in that same article that I read about that, they talked about how they're looking at using a nuclear fusion rocket engine. Now, we did a show about that with Brooks Agnew. They're looking at using a nuclear fusion rocket engine. Well, see, that doesn't mean they have one. They're considering the possibility. That doesn't mean they've got one that they can mount to a rocket and go to space. They don't have it. And it will take some doing to build one. And in fact, you can't build one. You have to build several because you have to test them. And sometimes stuff like that blows up and you got to have the next model ready to put online and modify and fix it so it doesn't blow up. I mean, they got to run tests on all that stuff. It takes a long time. These people are not going to deep space. And if they go as far as the International Space Station, whoop-dee-doo, they have to hitchhike with the Russians to get there. Nothing wrong with the Russians and nothing wrong with their equipment. It's the most reliable spacecraft ever built. But it's theirs, it's not ours. And so these NASA astronauts, I mean, I applaud them for passing whatever tests and, you know, all the stuff they had to do to get into this program, but they ain't going to deep space. And if they go to the International Space Station, they have to hitchhike. So here again, what we've got is we have manipulators using words, using stories, this time in mainstream media, to herd you in a certain direction. Oh boy, you know, we're getting ready to go to deep space. No, we're not. No, we are not. Now, five or six classes down the road of astronauts who, at very best, make it to the International Space Station, hitchhiking with the Russians, five or six classes into the future, maybe 10 classes into the future, there may be a trip to Mars. Now, I discussed this with someone this afternoon who said, well, you got to start somewhere. Well, you know, as a business person, I would say, okay, well, where you start is when you start the design of the rocket. When you actually start the design, I mean, you know, you're at the point of production. Then you get your astronauts together and you train them for that mission. I cannot see any benefit for the expenses involved in this when we are decades from even the possibility. There was a time just a few years ago when I was saying, this is it. We're going to Mars, and we'll be there in a few years. And that was a reality. It is no longer a reality. That was killed. That was snuffed. We were this close, and that was snuffed. Concomitant with this, Bilgewater, NASA has been putting out reports that one of the real problems of sending humans to Mars is the ever-present perchlorate in the soil, and I've addressed this before. Perchlorate is a particular type of bonding between oxygen and chlorine. And they say it's toxic to humans. Well, perchlorate is toxic to humans. And what's interesting is they're saying that the concentration of perchlorate in the Martian soil, first of all, is just everywhere on Mars, according to them. And the concentration is 0.5%. Well, 0.5% is a toxic, that would not be good for you. Now, I do want to point out that more than 20 states of the United States of America, and in case you thought there were 52, there's 50. 50 states in the United States of America. Just over 20, I think 22 of them, maybe 25 of them, but just over 20 have perchlorate in their soil and in their drinking water. Now, NASA's been saying that the presence of perchlorate on Mars in the soil would preclude life. And I ask you, does it preclude life in those 20-plus states? It's in their dirt, and it's in their water. Is there life in those 20-plus states? Yes, there is. But NASA is saying that the concentration of perchlorate in the Martian soil is 0.5%. And that is an extremely high level and would be toxic. I want to also remind you of what happened, I think it was in 2009, with the Phoenix lander. The Phoenix lander landed on Mars near the North Pole of Mars. It scooped up some dirt, put it into a little oven called a TIGA experiment. And the TIGA experiment, what it does is it sort of flash fires it. It heats it up rapidly and heats that soil up really hot. And the gases that escape off of that, there are sensors that sense what's in those gases and analyze it. So the TIGA experiment was run, and after that, the science team that was running the Phoenix lander mission announced, hey, you know what? That dirt's just like the dirt in your backyard. You can probably grow asparagus in it. All of a sudden, experts at NASA said, nope, time out. I mean, within less than 24 hours. Time out. That has that dirt has perchlorate in it, and that would preclude life. Now, I've mentioned this before. I went on the air that night and ripped their shorts down. Number one, the graphs from the TIGA experiment were available online at that time. I downloaded them and I showed them on the air, and I loaded them up on my website that night. And there was no blip in the graph, no blip at all for chlorine. Oxygen? Yeah, great big spike for oxygen. Chlorine, not a pimple. Leading me to the conclusion that NASA's story about perchlorate is bunk. if perchlorate is all over Mars, and if perchlorate is in a concentration of 0.5%, totally toxic to humans, then why is NASA now talking about a deep space mission, and they've got these eight astronauts, and they're talking about going to Mars with these eight astronauts, whom we can be sure these astronauts will be in their 70s before that mission will ever take place. But they're talking about sending them to Mars. At the same time, they're talking about this high concentration of perchlorate in the soil on Mars. Toxic to humans. Really toxic. It affects the thyroid. And you would have really serious problems pretty quickly. So why are they talking about sending these people that we know that ain't happening to a planet where they say they know that the perchlorate is at 0.5% in the soil, pervasive throughout the planet? That doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, if we take it at face value, we have to assume NASA's saying we're going to kill these people. That isn't what they're saying, but I mean, if you just take it at face value, you have to say that. We're going to send these people to Mars. By the way, perchlorate's all over the place, and it's at 0.5%. It'll kill them. Now, this doesn't make sense. Unless you understand, you're being manipulated. Those who want to believe that we're going to go to Mars and want to believe that NASA is really trying to do that space exploration, and they want to believe that NASA really is interested in finding the truth on Mars, they feed you a story, and the story is about these astronauts. They're going to train these astronauts for a mission to Mars. It isn't possible, but they're going to give you that story. Now, for those of you who want to believe that Mars is a dead planet, there's no life on Mars, and blah, 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 they're going to feed you the story about perchlorate. Divide and conquer. They feed you the story about perchlorate, and you sit there and you say, yeah, you see, all that stuff Smith talks about is bunk. There is bunk in the story. But the bunk, in my opinion, is coming from NASA. The bunk has to do with, you put these two stories together. If you think, oh, the perchlorate's true. Oh, it's true. They're going to send people to Mars. Now put the two stories together. They can't both be true. This is simple. The bunk is happening at NASA. Just put the two stories together. Oh, well, you know, there's perchlorate everywhere. Oh, did you see they're going to be sending these eight people to Mars? Come on. Load your brain. We'll be back right after this.
Cobblestone streets. Ooh. impossible to see. Why such a place needs an enemy? No one here can say.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. What we're going to do is open up the telephone lines now. 623-444-5889. It may be that you would like to comment on something that I have said. Maybe you take exception to something that I've said. Quite all right to call in and say so. It may be that you agree with something I said. Quite all right to say so. Maybe you have a question about it. Or maybe you've got some story that you've read on the internet or that you've heard people talking about, and you just wonder what I know about it. If I know something about it, I'll tell you. If I don't, I'll tell you that too, all right? 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, there is an additional option for you called the Flash Message. Go to my website, click where it says Flash Message, and send me your question or comment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey. Listen, I know you are aware of the phenomenon of professional jealousy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, when you spoke earlier of the passing of John Vasquez and your receiving of that information from the ultimate reliable source, I mean, the only more reliable source would have been if Mr. Vasquez's ghost had stood in front of you and said, I'm gone now. You know, but when you heard it from a very reliable source, and then people who had no idea and didn't have your source available wanted to say, well, no, he's not. He's hanging on by a thread, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I think a lot of times those people are jealous because they didn't get the scoop. That's number one.
Could be.
And then if they start controlling the language and pushing a spin that says, well, you know, he's hanging on by a thread, you need to send out your best thoughts, wishes, and above all, stay tuned in here for a follow-up to see when he might pass. You know, I mean, that if they don't come right out and say it, that is certainly implicit in their agenda, in what they're pushing. So, you know, number one, it's an expression of professional jealousy over not getting the scoop. And number two, it's trying to gain additional followers, because only by listening to them will they ever have the hope of finding out what the truth really is. You know, so there's kind of a twofold agenda there.
Yeah.
And they're both very selfish and small-minded, and ultimately have to lead to disaster when people realize, oh, this guy was lying to me all along. So that guy's 15 minutes of fame will turn into just that, 15 minutes of fame, and then, you know, the rest of his life being ignored as a purveyor of fabrication. Now, I appreciate you pointing out the phenomenon of digging for the truth and digging for facts on stories that come out, you know, before a person swallows a story, you know, especially if any story comes from the white coat boys, is what I like to call them, you know, the keepers of the tables, NASA, mainstream media, any of the people that are operating the spin, you know, that keeps people hemmed in their thought processes, or rather shut out from their thought processes, something that they can swallow and believe because it was said by an expert. You know, anytime I hear that word expert, my BS meter starts to wake up. You know, I want to know who is that expert, number one. Number two, who anointed that guy an expert, number two. And number three, what might his agenda be? And then, of course, if it's from the Huffington Post or from any of those other mainstream outfits, you know, I automatically tune them out. You know, they will try to latch on to a story like that UFO over the castle, and they'll try to get the scoop on it, put it out there so they can control the language around it. Because if they control the language, then they control the public's opinion, their mass opinion, and they can shut a valid story down in a hurry just by saying an expert said it's an insect. Because as soon as people hear the word expert, they don't care what comes after that.
And the headline.
You can say almost anything outlandish.
The headline, Netherlands UFO explained. Like, okay, you know, well, I read it because of the headline. Other people did too. And then I read the explanation, and I was like, what? Are you kidding me? A bug? You got to be kidding me. Well, they don't tell you who the expert is, and they don't tell you why he's an expert and who said he's an expert. But I guarantee you, if he had said, yep, that's a UFO, he would not have been an expert. He would have been a UFO believer who is a consultant to the Sci-Fi Channel.
Well, and if that guy is owned by the Sci-Fi Channel, I think it would behoove people to find out who owns the Sci-Fi Channel. Who does this guy work for? You know, whose agenda is he pushing? You know, because it's not the truth. It's what his owner's agenda is. So, you know, if people have maybe tired, bored lives or something, and they want to spark it up a little bit, they want to enliven their lives, they can begin by starting to peel away the layers of the stories that they hear on mainstream media and, of course, from our alternative media as well, Kevin,
as you
very rightly pointed out. You know, I'm kind of late to the game here of UFOs and so on, though, you know, for a long time, I always thought it was an interesting phenomenon, but I never really delved very deeply in it just because there was so much garbage out there. You know, I thought, you know, there are other things I could better spend my time on that might inform my life and help me and help the family and the people around me, you know, if I focused on other things. But I would say after discovering your show, Kevin, and the instruction that you give people, you know, you're not out here giving people the truth or the alleged truth. Let me back up. You're not hanging a label on everything you say as the unmitigated, God handed it to you truth. What you're doing is giving people data and inviting them to think for themselves, you know, to use thought, you know, and the best thing we can do is help people along in their process of thinking rather than shutting thought down. One of the problems I have with channelers, you know, channelers are special people with special access to special information that you don't have. You know, so there's no way you can verify.
There isn't, but look,
you can't verify their data. You're not listening to Zoltan from Alpha Centauri.
Yeah, but look, you also cannot prove they're not getting it until time goes by. And you know, so I don't attack them. I just pretty much ignore them. Because if their information is true, you're not going to know it except by waiting to see. And so if it turns out that it was accurate, well, okay, then it was accurate. But most of the time, it flies way left of field, and it misses the target by a long shot most of the time. But look, let me point out something here about talking about, you know, learning to look at the data and think. I think one of the clearest, sharpest examples that I've seen in a long time is this stuff I've talked about tonight about Mars. You got a group of people we're going to send to Mars. when the whole damn world knows you don't even have a Volkswagen to drive, and you're going to send them to Mars, and these people are in their 40s, this mission ain't happening until these people are in their 70s, okay? So they're not going, all right? So you put that out there. But at the same time, you're putting out the story that Mars has toxic levels of perchlorate pervasive through the planet, pervasive around the planet. Now, both of these stories cannot possibly be true. You know, we're going to send these people, but by the way, we know this stuff's there and it's going to kill them. These stories can't be true. So the very first one that I can get rid of is the perchlorate, because their own TIGA test did not show chlorine, and NASA said there's perchlorate within hours of the TIGA test. And it showed no chlorine. If you don't have chlorine, you don't have perchlorate. You have oxygen. That's all. And so their own test showed that, and there was even talk amongst them on the news when they were asked, well, why didn't that show up in the test? Well, we're not sure about that. We're looking into that. So they know there's perchlorate. They know it, even though their instrument said it was just oxygen. So that's highly suspicious. The perchlorate story, in my opinion, is DOA. It's out. But the that thing with the astronauts, these people are never going to make it to Mars. They won't live long enough.
And you know, it's Kevin, something else about the pictures of those people. If I'm not mistaken, especially the pictures of the people in the upper left, the upper row, kind of toward the left, their faces look very familiar to me. You know, since Sandy Hook and some of the other phenomena out there, America has become acquainted with the phenomenon of the Crisis Actor Guild. You know, they're based in Colorado. And some of these people, these faces look an awful lot like some of those crisis actors whose faces you can look up. And I'm going to have to get into that site and maybe download these pictures and line them up, because it looks to me like a bunch of actors playing dress up. You know, I don't even think these are actually anywhere near the space program myself.
Well, you might be right. That would be something I absolutely don't know anything about that. I don't know who these people are. But, you know, you just line these two stories up side by side, and they cannot possibly both be true. And maybe neither one of them is true, but at least one of them is not true. And,
right.
You know, Steve, that's what we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about, folks, you got to sift through this stuff and think about it. Really think about it, you know?
It's an exciting thing, Kevin, to begin stripping away the layers of the stories they feed us, to start stripping away the layers of lies upon lies upon lies, you know, and keep following the traces of things until you get to the bottom of it, or at least as low as you feel like you can go without getting too filthy. You know, they generally lead back to Washington District of Corruption, you know, but people can really get their lives excited by picking up the clues at the scene of the crime that surrounds them every day. The crime of the lies and the spin and the cover-up and the attempts to keep everybody dumbed down and away from the truth. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you again, Kevin, for doing what you do on this show night after night after night.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and thank you for the call.
You bet.
All right. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Folks, I guess the reason for the show tonight, I wanted to show on both sides of this fence here. I mean, mainstream media, I hit them hard. I hit them hard frequently. And they deserve it. I don't apologize for it. They deserve it. But on our side of the fence, all the laundry is not clean on this side of the fence either. on the alternative information side. And, you know, just because somebody in alternative media said it, that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. The flash message option is open for those who are outside the USA and outside of Canada, and we do have a flash message from Bryce in the UK. Are there other show hosts that take the same approach as you? Yeah, there are. You know, I'm not the lone crusader out here, and I don't have a Don Quixote complex, and I don't have a Messiah complex. And I would never tell you that this is the only place you're going to get this. Some things I tell you that because we have an exclusive on the story. But if we don't have an exclusive on it, I'm not going to tell you that the only place where you're going to be challenged to think and to sift through the data and you're going to be given data without spin, I'm not going to tell you the only place is here. Yeah, there are other hosts. And then he says, if so, who? Well, I'm not going to name names, but it's not a secret. If you go back through our archives and look at the various hosts of shows that I have had as guests, there's your clue right there, okay? And I don't have a lot of show hosts as guests. I have had some. And you go back and look at the ones that I have had, and these are people who, at least at the time they were on my show, were presenting information in their own way, their own style, their own format, but they were presenting data and asking people to consider and think, and they were not pushing agenda, and they were not trying to manipulate you one way or the other into thinking like they think. You know, here on this show, a good example of how we do things, when I show pictures from Mars and we discuss those pictures and I say, to me, that looks like blah, 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 blah. And you call in, you say, well, I don't think so. To me, it looked like this. And I say, really? Let me see. And I put the picture back up and I look at it and I say, yeah, I can see what you're talking about. If I can. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I say, I just don't see it. I'm not sure. But I tell you the truth. I mean, I give you my true opinion about it. And I leave it open for you to have yours. Folks, we're living in a world where that is a dying commodity. Your own opinion and freedom of speech to say it. And that's why, you know, it's really so important. When I open those phone lines, it is so important for you to ask your question, for you to make your comment. Not just, I mean, the information we get from your question, your comment, is vital. It helps us to consider things from another angle that, you know, look, I'm one guy. So we consider things, if you don't call, we have to consider it from the angles I can see. Granted, I see a lot of angles, but not all of them. And so that's why it's so important for you to call. Well, that's one thing, that you're providing another perspective, and that's healthy and that's vital. Here's another thing. When you pick up that phone and you call, you are exercising a freedom that lots of people do not have the freaking guts to exercise. And you encourage them to stand up and be free. How many people are depending on you for that? You don't even know them. And they're depending on you. They don't even know that. We've had people that have called in and then later wrote me an email and said, I was afraid to call in, but then I heard so-and-so called in and asked this question, and it encouraged me, it inspired me to go ahead and make the call. You are a vital link in the chain, and when you don't do it, the chain breaks. So that's the way we do things here. The way we do things is we present the data and look at it from a lot of different angles. Open the phone lines and invite you to join the conversation. Some nights we have real good response. Some nights people are sitting on their thumbs. Some nights people have their head in their rear and no guts. And then they get upset. I get email after I say this, and they write in and say, it's not because I didn't have the guts to call in. It's because what you were saying was so interesting, I didn't want to interrupt you. With me begging you to interrupt me, you didn't want to interrupt me? Come on, who do you think you're fooling here? no guts. But you have the capability of being free. And all you have to do is exercise your free will and be free. You can't just wish you're free. You got to be free. You got to act free in order to be free. Sometimes what I say is so challenging to a person's warm, cuddly blanket of bullcrap that they've wrapped themselves in that it shakes them up and it scares them. And then they don't want to call in. And I understand that too. But I'm telling you, folks, if you buy most of what you get in alternative media, if you buy most of it, you've bought a load of fertilizer. If you buy even a small percentage of what you get in mainstream media, you have bought a shipload. That's S-H-I-P, shipload of fertilizer. The truth is available. The truth is out there. It's increasingly difficult to find it. It's increasingly difficult to mine through the manure in order to get to it. But there are still shows that help you do that. This is one of them. It's not the only one. It's one of them. I, of course, think it's the best one. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be here. But you got to make sure you stop buying the manure. I know you want to. I know you want to stop buying the manure. I know you want to get to what is the truth. You're never going to get exactly what the truth is, but you can get so close you'll scare it. I mean, you can get close enough to what is the truth that you've got most of it. And the part you don't get, the part you haven't been able to uncover, will be shaking in its boots because you're so close. But I said earlier, and I mean it, there's no elevator to knowledge. You have to take the stairs. And are you energetic enough to do that, or are you just lazy? I think you're energetic enough to do it. Now, you know, if you're just lazy and you don't want to do what you got to do to find out what the facts are, well, then you just are, and you'll just be lazy stupid. But I think that most people that listen to this show are not in that category. I don't buy that at all. I think most people that listen to this show are absolutely interested in finding out what the facts are. Well, one of the facts has to do with time, and we're out of it. We have about 8 seconds left. And I want to thank you for being here this evening. I hope you found this show to be informative and interesting. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.